Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to the A New Day Show. I am the Queen of the Empowered Soul, and I'm so privileged to be your host this morning. I am broadcasting out of New Milford, where we are experiencing one of the most gorgeous days to be alive. And I do pray that wherever you are, that you too are experiencing and enjoying this gorgeous day that you are blessed to be a part of. Before we get into today's segment, which is a very powerful segment, and if you have not yet done so, I would love for you to tweet, email, or even call everyone you know, because today's conversation is one that they will want to be a part of live. Yes, it will be on archive, but you want to be on live so you can ask your questions and be part of this extremely stimulating conversation that will take place for the next 2 hours. I just want to give you a bit of housekeeping. I want to remind you that the chat room is up. I want to welcome the people who are there already. Some people signed on from Houston, Texas, and I want to thank you, Miss Crystal, for coming on early so that you could be in the front row. I appreciate you, my sister. And for the others that will join later, know that I do not take it for granted, because it's a privilege to have your support. The telephone number that you will call for your questions or remark is 646-915-8166. And even if you are in the chat room, you can still call in. We just love to hear your beautiful voices over the airwaves. So before I go in, my guest has been sitting in the virtual green room patiently waiting for us to get into dialogue. However, I just want to do a bit of housekeeping before I welcome him. I want to remind you that the Vision Weekend 2010 conference is scheduled for September the 2nd through the 3rd. It will take place at the exquisite Heritage Hotel Golf and Spa, nested here in the unique Southbury town of New England. if you have never been to New England, this is your opportunity. Next week, I will have the complete confirmation of all our speakers. And these speakers are noted to rock the world of their participants and attendees. The Vision Weekend Conference is designed to shape your vision for greater success. So again, the dates on that is September the 2nd through the 3rd, through the 4th. And you can visit us on visionweekendconference.com for more information if you need to call us. You may call us at 860-355-9838 or 718-753-0244, excuse me, or 203-885-9434. And that's if you still need additional information for the Vision Weekend Conference scheduled for September the 2nd through the 4th at the exquisite Heritage Hotel Golf and Spa, nested in the unique New England town of Southbury. Now, without any further delay, I want to take this opportunity to welcome my distinguished, honored guest, Dr. Stephen Harefield. Dr. Harefield, welcome to the A New Day Show.
Daphne, it's an absolute pleasure to be here, and I'm sure that it's stunning weather back there for you. I know that we're having it out here, too, so that's I think that's wonderful.
Yes, it's just a beautiful, beautiful day. I want to just thank you for agreeing to come into conversation with me this morning, because you are a well-kept secret. I just learned about you. Either that I'm sheltered or you are a well-kept secret. And I know I'm not sheltered, so I think you're a well-kept secret. So here I am wanting to expose you. And I must tell my listeners that it's only a week ago that I learned about Dr. Stephen. And someone sent me a request to be their friend on another Blog Talk Radio show. And what do you know, the segment I clicked on to listen, because before I connect with people, I want to make sure our energies are some way in sync with each other, because I am not one to enter into any relationships unless I can add energy and value. So I was checking out this show to make sure, you know, I can support what the sister is doing and vice versa. And what you know, listeners, the segment I happened to click on was the one with Dr. Stephen Harefield. And then I read a little about him, found out that he's an American monk. And I said, hey, let me listen to this show. And the more I listen to that segment, the more energized I get. And I said, you know, I need to expose my listeners to this kind of knowledge. So here we are now, and I thank you so much. So, an American monk. Let us start there. How did you get into becoming a monk, and what encouraged you that is something that you really wanted to commit to?
Well, interestingly enough, I can't honestly say that I really wanted to become a monk. I just had this urge to go to India after I had got my bachelor's degree. Mm-hmm. And while I was over there stumbling around, not knowing anybody, not really knowing where I was going, I found myself in the northern part of India. It was a hot day, and I decided what I wanted was a cup of tea, and I sat down under this tree in the shade and was sipping my tea, and all of a sudden from behind me this voice said, "We've been waiting for you." Well, I knew that nobody knew I was in India at all. But the next thing I heard actually shocked me right out of my skin, because the same voice said, "Your name is Stephen, is it not?" And I looked around. I didn't see Rod Serling, so I knew I wasn't in the Twilight Zone.
Mm.
So I slowly turned around and looked into the softest, kindest brown eyes I've to this day even seen. And it was a Tibetan monk, and I looked at him and said, "Yes, my name is Stephen." And he said, "Good, we've been waiting for you." After I got over my shock, they invited me to come and study, and I chose right in that moment to study the Tibetan path of Buddhism, and studied the Mahayana path in particular, which is Mahayana is actually the path of compassion. And actually loved it. And I spent almost 6 years of my life over there studying with them.
Mm.
So that's how I actually became a monk.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. Because how often people you hear people will say, "Oh, I just stumbled onto something." And I don't think we stumbled. I think each journey that we take and each result was divinely set up for us.
No question. And go
ahead.
I was just going to say, no question to that. There are no accidents. There are no coincidences. Everything in life has a purpose and a reason for the events. Absolutely, no question.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of people tend to not recognize that, and those are some of the reasons that they keep going around in circles, or as I like to say, they frequently chase their shadows, and they keep going around, and those are the things that people will say, "Oh, I'm burnt out about what I'm doing," because they are not operating in their true calling and purpose that was designed for them to be part of. So I just love what you just said to us. In a new country where nobody knew you, but you turned up for an appointment that was already set for you. That was so powerful to hear.
You could say it was actually destiny, and I'm a total believer in destiny.
Mm-hmm.
We all have one.
Yes.
Without hesitation and without question. It's just, and you are correct, most people are so busy going in their circles and running
mm-hmm.
through their routines that I would say the vast majority of people, actually I can't say that they miss their destiny. They just struggle in it.
Exactly, exactly. Because you know what? I have noticed, and I can only speak from my personal observations,
mm-hmm.
is that a large number of people chose to concentrate greatly on other people's involvement, other people's calling, and neglect theirs. So at work, it's always the person in the next cubicle doing this, doing that, doing that. It's the neighbor, it's the cat, it's the dog. And nobody takes time to look in the mirror and have a conversation with the person looking back at them.
Very few. Daphne, that is amazing that you would say that, because that's one of the things that they do teach in a monastery. A person's life is their business.
Mm-hmm.
And very few of us actually put our focus on our business. Mm-hmm. We make all the excuses in the world of why we cannot do things, as opposed to taking advantage of any moment and being absolutely the best human we can be to ourselves in that moment,
mm-hmm.
not to other people, but to ourselves. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful, wonderful. I want to encourage the listeners that if you have a question, you can call in. We'll take the questions during our conversation. And if you call in and you would like to go on the air, would you please raise your hand, and I will acknowledge that you would like to speak with us. Now, there are so many things, Dr. Stephen, that you and I can have a conversation about, because you are so rich with knowledge and information. And of course, I think you know that the focus and emphasis of this show is to educate, inspire, and empower our listeners, which happens to be greatly entrepreneurs, which is what I strive for. But we welcome everyone else, because a lot of people are bogged down with our word now, and it's not relax and it's not romance. And I know that we have the ability, and we should maintain the courage to not buy into that word, that R word that everybody been using. And I said, you know, this show is going to show us that we don't have to bog ourselves down with that R word. However, we can show people how to catapult above that R word and have a testimony to tell the world that during the time when others concentrated on that R word, here is what I did with my business and my life. So I know one of the things that we will be talking about this morning is the art of manifestation, among other things. Now, what would you like the listeners to learn just a little bit about being a monk? Because you know, American culture have so many different places of worship. I was speaking with a business associate yesterday out of Houston, and we were having a bit of conversation around that, and we touch on different spiritual organization. And she said to me, "I love to learn from everyone." And it was so powerful that she said that, because a lot of people tend to hit something that they knows nothing about. I remembered about 5 years ago, I had a segment of my cable TV show, and I invited a Christian minister, I invited a rabbi, and I invited someone from the mosque of the Islamic mosque. The Islamic leader was out of town. The rabbi was excited about the invitation, and the Christian minister said to me, he said, "Sister Daphne, oh, you're going to open a can of worms when you do that." And I said, "Why would you say something like that?" I said, "My topic is going to be why we believe what we believe." I said, "I'm not inviting you to talk about why you believe what they believe. You're going to talk about why you believe." So I said, "What can of worms is in that?" So the short of that story, Dr. Stephen, is that by the time that segment ended, which was an hour, they were embracing each other. The rabbi and the minister were embracing like they were long lost brothers, because their lives were so similar with the path that it took. And it has transformed his life right now. And I tell him, you see, why you shouldn't hit something you don't know about. So, with that being said, what do you want us to understand about being a Tibetan monk and their studies? What can you tell us to just enlighten us briefly?
Briefly, I would say this. The Buddhist path is not one that you could per se call it a religion.
Mm-hmm.
It's a philosophy of mm-hmm. living life and accepting life as it is, not as it isn't. I think when most people can learn to accept life as it is, we can then learn to accept ourselves. In fact, you accept yourself first, then you accept life as it is, and by so doing, life becomes simpler. Mm-hmm. Life is a simple thing. It's not a complex thing. We in this part of the world prefer our complexities about things. One of the most powerful things that we as human have is belief. People that know me would say to you that I believe in nothing, and yet I believe in everything at the same time. That sounds mm-hmm. contradictory. But just as an example for those in the business world, we keep hearing about bad economic times. Well, if we believe that, then what will end up happening is you will end up struggling in your business.
Yep.
But if you know yourself implicitly, you know your abilities and capabilities implicitly, my suggestion would be is what's bad about the economy? What we're really being forced, if you will, to do
mm-hmm.
is operate in new economic realms.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, from a philosophic point of view,
mm-hmm.
one can see that, but if we get caught up and are only economy-driven, then you're destined
mm-hmm.
for struggle.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that monks absolutely do not do. I've never known or seen any monk when I was there or here back in the States that struggles with anything. The best way to understand any situation is to be objective, look at it for what it is,
mm-hmm.
don't wrestle with it, and then begin to move it. It's kind of like life is kind of like a ball, a heavy one. It's
mm-hmm.
hard to get it moving, but once we get it moving, all you have to do is just nudge it on occasion to keep it moving. If it gets too far ahead of you, then you have to chase it down, which is struggle. If you get lax on that ball and you stop moving it, then it takes greater effort to get it moving once more. So the idea of what I'm suggesting is take life as she is. Never look at life as it is not. When you see life through the eyes of objectivity in the way that it is, then it makes things much more clearer. It creates less stress on you. It creates a more relaxed human, and that individual is much more in control of their own life. I hope that just made sense for you.
Oh, yes. Oh, it made a lot of sense. And that's why I just used the letter R, and I wouldn't even use the rest of that word, because I don't plan to put any energy in it, because I said that I am not participating in that, because I have the ability to create the end result of my business during this time. It's not up to that R word. So I'm so glad that you took the time to explain so eloquently for us. Are you still a practicing monk?
Absolutely.
If practice is the right word, I don't know if that's, if you practice, what do you do? Is it a practice?
I think one of the greatest tools that I learned as a monk is mindfulness.
Okay.
Mindfulness just simply means knowing what your mind is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the amazing thing about the human mind. Most people do what the mind tells them to do versus them telling the mind what they want it to do.
Mm.
And I think that's where a lot of people in this part of the world get themselves into, let's say, difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
And the mind can be very overpowering. But, yeah, I've practiced my monkness. If you will.
monkism.
And I've never slowed down with it. I've never given it up. Even when I was in corporate America, I still meditated, and I do that every single day and have for the last 30-some-odd years. That helps one be mindful and know
mm-hmm.
themselves. In fact, the greatest phrase ever written was know yourself.
That's
how many
right.
people can honestly say that?
Amen.
Very few.
That's
what
right.
we know, what we know is our physical personalities. We're not our bank accounts. We're not our hair. We're not our car. We're not our house. We
right.
are different from all of those. So
all
learn to know yourself.
That's right. We are not attached to any of those things.
Sure.
It's getting good already. I can see us having many more conversations. many more conversations. In our conversation the other day, and as I read your bio and everything, there was a time when one of your teachers asked you a simple question.
Yep.
Which turned your life around completely.
Totally.
Would you love to share what that question was for
sure.
my listeners?
Absolutely. My teacher and I were walking along one day, and he looked at me with those bright, twinkling eyes. And he said, young man, what if what you call your God heard every thought that you had and considered that thought a request to give you that as your next experience? Would you change the way that you think? I looked at him and said, yes, I would. And he looked at me and smiled and said, good, because that's the truth of it. And I looked at him in shock.
Whew.
And I asked him, I said, you mean to tell me that every thought, is as though a prayer. And later in life, are you ready for this, Daphne?
Mm-hmm.
My master's is in religion and theology.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was studying it, I came across this phrase in the book of Matthew, in fact, chapter 5. And what it says is this. Christ says that there is no need to ask the Father for what it is that you want, for it already knows. Mm-hmm. And I remembered what my teacher asked me that day. Now, I heard it from a Buddhist monk,
mm-hmm.
and I read the
no.
same concept in the American Bible.
Bible.
And that's when I was absolutely, totally convinced that we are more than we think we are. We are more powerful than we ever realized. So, and the first key in that is getting a handle on that thing between our ears.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
isn't that the truth?
Yes.
Isn't that the truth?
Absolutely.
Woo! I read it and, oh my God, I said, but isn't that the truth? And this is why in Christianity, you know, a lot of times people are hitting stuff and, oh, you don't want to be doing this, you don't want to be doing that. And I said to them, you know, you need to read the Bible more. The Bible is a good book to read. And you need to get other spiritual leaders' material that they're reading so you can read it too and you can compare. And you'll oftentimes see that there's not a lot of difference.
There is not.
There's a friend of mine on, I think it's LinkedIn or something, and he is a Muslim. So I asked him to send me one of his, I'm saying it's a Bible. That's not the name they call it.
No.
And then a friend of mine asked me, she said, but why do you want it? I said, so I can learn what's going on in his world and see mm-hmm. how it matches what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
I said, it's a source of knowledge and information for me.
Absolutely. Good for you.
And, you know, I am, as you said the other day, and this is something I learned from you, that I am a progress that is working.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot sit and be stagnant with that. I have to keep nurturing this progress so that the plant that I'm looking to manifest will be a strong one. And because the winds are going to come, and the stronger I am in my studies, that is what will help me to manifest the legacies that I am on path to manifesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Somebody. Thank you, Miss Crystal. Someone in the chat room told me it's the Quran. Thank you, my sister.
I was going to wait, and when you paused, I was going to let you know the same thing. So good.
Okay. Thank you.
In life, strength is in knowledge, but what knowledge will teach us is great flexibility. I think we can learn a lot by watching nature. When we look at a tree and the wind blowing, we don't necessarily realize the relationship between that tree and the wind, but what we don't understand is this, that the wind is the way the tree gets its exercise so that the tree becomes stronger. And the day that 500-year-old oak says, wind, I will bend no more, what will happen is the wind will take the oak tree down. So my point in that is when we learn knowledge and flexibility, then we operate like the wind and that tree. And as long as we stay flexible with life, we will always, always get what we manifest. And speaking of manifesting, we have to remember that the universe has a sense of humor.
Oh, yes, it does.
It takes us literally when mm-hmm. when we operate figuratively.
Figuratively, yep.
So if you want your things to manifest in this life, there's one key that's necessary, and that's simply this. Focus on the end result only and let the how-to take care of itself.
Care of itself, that's right. The how-to is not any of my business.
No.
And, you know, I'm praying that we'll have time to touch on the vision conference coming, because when I got that vision to do this event, honestly, first, I kind of panicked and I was thinking I couldn't do that. But then after a while, I got a hold of myself. I said, oh, no, How it's going to happen is none of my business. I'm just stepping out there and begin to do what it is that I am expected to do. And I said, everything else is going to fall into place, because this is really not about me and about the speakers that are going to be there. It's about us being a servant and serving the people that Daddy wants us to service, so that their lives can be better and they can do what he or she wants them to do.
Exactly.
So I am so excited about the team that we are pulling together. We are definitely going to talk about that later on.
Good.
So we are, oh my heaven, where did the time go? We only have an hour and 29 minutes remaining.
Time is ever important. It's how we use the time.
Exactly, exactly. Now, the art of manifestation. But before we go there, I want to just welcome all the people in the chat room and all the callers who are on the telephone. And please, if you want to say something, just raise your hand. And I will put you live. You do not need to wait for the end of our conversation. We want to allow you to be a part of our conversation.
Absolutely.
So, the art of manifestation. How do we begin? The people who have not yet embraced the fact that it is inside of me to create the life result that I want for myself and for my family and for my business. Where do we begin?
Where do we begin? First off, let me give a thumbnail sketch of a little bit of a background. Every monk is taught the principles of manifestation. I don't know about you, but I was not born with an eraser in my hand. What do I mean by that? It means that once we've created something, we spend more time attempting to undo it than we ever do taking it and moving it in the direction that we want. You see, you can almost say that all of the universe is one huge experiment in the art of manifestation. And we are the epitome of that in human form. We are the only living thing in this reality that can think independent of everything else. Everything else, the animal kingdom, they operate under one principle. We, on the other hand, can, but we don't. The one principle is a simple idea. There's no such thing as separation. We just believe that it is. So when one is working on manifesting something, it doesn't matter what it is, a relationship, a house, a career, a seminar, it absolutely is only limited by the person doing the manifestation. So when I say I wasn't born with an eraser in my hand, I never, ever attempt to undo anything. I observe it, look at where adjustments are necessary, and then I make the adjustments through my being to create the end result that I am looking for. Here's something very intriguing, because everybody manifests every day. They just don't realize they're doing it. And the difficulty with that is simply this, that the person isn't owning what they themselves have asked for. Now, I'm going to make a short point here to kind of prove it, to not only to you, Daphne, but to all of the listeners out there. When you have fond memories of a person you haven't seen in a long time, what generally occurs?
They call you on the phone or something and they say, oh, I was just thinking about you.
Now, how did that happen?
Because created it.
Yes, ma'am. And people don't realize that. It is that simple. The reason it happens when you have those fond memories, and notice, and everybody notice how I'm saying what I'm saying, because that's
fond.
Fond memories, you had the thought, you had deep-seated fond emotions about it, and all of a sudden, within a day or two, you get a phone call, you get an email, or you even bump into them in person, and just like you said, Daphne, the first thing out of their mouth, invariably, 100% of the time, is I was just thinking about you.
Mm.
That's
mm-hmm.
because you two linked in your minds in
right.
the idea of oneness.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
go ahead. The rest
Steven.
Of
yes. We have a question. When you're through with this thought, I would love to read the question for you from the chat room.
Let's go ahead and do it.
Okay. It's coming from my friend and colleague, Crystal Washington, another powerful sister out in Houston, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And it reads, she likes your perspective, first of all. And she's asking, how do you overcome the mind's resistance to slow down? And it continues. I find, would you like me to finish reading the question?
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Please.
I find that I can meditate easily when I am in Zen meditation class. However, when I decide to meditate at home, my mind flows with emergency things. Floods with emergency things, and I things that I have to take care of. Finish. Complete, sir.
Okay. All right. The mind of the human is a sneaky thing. First off, when you sit down to meditate, there's a point where it's just called premeditation, for lack of a better way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you're going to have a busy mind. Let it. Let it be busy. Let it do what it's going to do. And then my suggestion to her would be this. Focus only on your breath and breathing. And if you would do that right now while I'm talking with you, focus only on your breath and breathing, you're going to find that your mind is no longer busy because you're distracting it by focusing on your breath and breathing only. Then once you start doing that, the mind begins to slow, and now you can enter your meditation. It's as simple as that. Food for thought for all of your listeners. We in this part of the world like to make things complex. Mm. The more complex we make it, the more difficult it becomes. I was taught in the Far East that the simplest things are the most powerful and best things. If you make it too complex, the odds are you probably won't stay with it or work with it. And the other thing for your listener to realize is when you're in a group, it's easier to meditate because there's a group. I teach meditations, and I don't meditate with the group until the very last day of a three-day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is simple, because to the Tibetans, they talk about the thousand-petaled flower. The thousand-petaled flower is what's known as our crown, which means, very literally, any individual can be in a thousand places at one time. And I always ask the class on that last day, at the very end of the day, to pay very close attention to their meditation when I enter that meditation. And invariably, 100% of the time, the people are floored at the depth of that meditation. Why? Because you have a monk that's sitting in there with them. So when you're in a room with other people, you have a collective consciousness that's focused on meditation. When you get home, like Buddha himself said, that the mind of the human is like a tree filled with chattering monkeys. You have no focus, or the consciousness isn't set up for you to meditate, because she likes meditating with her group, not alone. So if you focus on breath and breathing only, let the mind be busy, let it do what it's going to do, and then slowly focus your mind on only your breath and breathing, and breathe slowly, not rapidly. As you breathe slowly, the mind begins to calm, and as it calms, now you're free to meditate.
Wow.
I hope that helps.
Powerful, because she says, whoa, so the monks are literally helping me meditate in class. So,
absolutely.
Yes. She said that. You mentioned, Stephen, about a stage of premeditation.
Mm-hmm.
As a teacher, do you recommend that we could probably engage the use of some meditative music during that premeditative state? Or no?
I actually, one of the things about meditation, Daphne, is to help us release from sensory bombardment. Sensory bombardment is the foods, it's the music, it's the traffic on the highway, the jets in the air. That's all sensory bombardment. I use no music myself.
Okay, good,
In all sincerity, I could sit right next to a jackhammer and meditate and not be disturbed by it.
Right. I love that. I'm glad you said that to me because I have not had the experience yet of meditating under the teaching of a monk. I have done so at different places which tend to use music. Mm-hmm. And as I have conversation with other people who have studied with monks, they have never used music and they tend to get to a depth where I have never experienced. So I'm looking forward.
All right, I'm going
to
share something with you. I want to share something with you, lovely creature. How do you know you've never reached the depth that a monk has achieved? And here's why I ask that. If you all just take a look for a moment at your fingerprint, it says that you are unique, which means your experiences are unique only to you. You have a depth, I have a depth, everybody has one, and none of them are the same. So just remember, even in manifestation, it's unique experience.
Okay.
I can honestly sit here and say, out of all the years I've been meditating, I've never had the same experience in meditations. They're always different for me.
Always. And what I thank you so much for that affirmation, because what you just mentioned about you being uniqueness, I'm a strong supporter of one's uniqueness and authenticity. So I thank you for that as a teacher and showing me, yes, the depth that I do experience is what is needed at that time.
Perfect.
And the next time I go into, that depth is the one that's needed at that time. So
exactly.
Thanks for that. And that's teaching I didn't even have to pay for. Isn't that amazing?
That's what I'm here for.
All right. I just want to keep abreast of the time. And I want to remind the listeners to please ask your questions, whether in the chat room or on the phone. We need you to be a part of this conversation because you are adding vital energy and value to this conversation. So please allow us to hear your feedback or remarks or any questions that you may have. Again, I welcome each and every one of you that took the time to be here with Dr. Stephen on myself. We greatly appreciate your support.
I'm very honored, by the way, and I also encourage. The best way to learn is through conversation.
Yes, 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 yes. And I am felt led to just let the people who are here on the phone know that Dr. Stephen will be part of the faculty at the Vision Weekend Conference. So if you think you're going to get a lot here today, you wait until the Vision Conference. So the minute we are finished here, you better go to that website and make sure you reserve your spot to be at the conference. So I am super excited about that. And we're just going to be talking about all the things that he will be doing at the conference later time. And as soon as we confirm all of that, we will let you know about that. So, Dr. Stephen, let's continue on the art of manifestation.
Sure.
We are students and we are ready to learn.
I'll see what I can do. I'm going to seem to sidestep here for a minute, but give me a moment.
Yeah.
If we look into the field of astrophysics, what we will see is three and three only constants in the entire, absolute entire universe. And here they are. no matter where you look, there's an electrical field or charge. There's a magnetic field or charge. And the third and final is a gravitational pull or gravitational field. Only those three. Here's the interesting thing. Now, if we were in a monastery, this is exactly, precisely what they're going to teach you. We as the human actually wield all three of those, and we don't even realize it. Here's how they appear in the human form. Your electrical charge is your mind. It's your thoughts. They are powerful. The magnetic charge, or excuse me, I just stepped on my own toes. Magnetic charge is your mind. Mm-hmm. The electrical charge is your heart. Mm-hmm. It's what you feel about a thing. Now, let's go back to the scenario where you had fond memories of a friend,
mm-hmm.
and they appeared. It's because you used those three principles. You applied the thought, the emotion, and it created a gravitational pull. Now, hear how I'm saying that, a gravitational pull. In other words, in the art of manifesting, you actually draw it to you. You actually draw the end result to you. And here's the intriguing thing. You cannot have the end result unless you know that you are worthy to have it. One of the most mm-hmm. difficult things to manifest is money. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Simple. Because we give power to money. We make money much more powerful than we are. And if you're attempting to manifest something that's more powerful than you, you can't have it. There's no way is it ever going to occur. Now, I mentioned earlier that that the universe, I had to recollect my thoughts there for a moment, that the universe
mm-hmm.
has a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's say that you have lack consciousness, but
mm-hmm.
what you want is money.
Mm-hmm.
What do? We start focusing on the idea of abundance, but what we don't realize is there can be an abundance of lack.
Mm.
So what you're doing is you're manifesting what's in your consciousness into your life. So if you have lack consciousness, you're going to get more of the same. You're
wow.
absolutely going to get more of the same. In one of my books, I wrote something, and if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to take a moment and just read it to your audience.
Yes.
After I've read it, then what I'm going to do is tell everybody where it came from and how old it is. Is that fair enough?
Sure.
Okay. Then shall the human seek peace with their own thoughts, that the angel of wisdom may guide them. For I tell you truly, there is no greater power in heaven and earth than the thoughts of the human. Though unseen by the eyes of the body, each thought has mighty strength as can shake the heavens. For to no other creature in the kingdom of the earthly mother is it given the power of thought. All beasts that crawl, birds that fly, live not of their own thinking, but of the one law that governs all things. Only to the sons and daughters of human is it given the power of thought. Even that thought can break the bonds of death. Do not think, because it cannot be seen, that thought has no power. I tell you truly, the lightning that cleaves the mighty oak, or the quaking that opens up cracks in the earth, these are as the play of children compared with the power of a single thought. That actually comes out of the Dead Sea Scrolls, and is about 2,000 years old.
Wow.
Now, in the idea of manifesting, Daphne, what we have to do, if there's a have to, is direct that thought. Then what you do is you love the end result.
Mm.
And the key, once you love the end result, is you have to let it go. When I say let it go, I literally mean that. It's kind of like, you know what happens when you have a song on the tip of your tongue and it doesn't come and it doesn't come? And you go, oh, the heck with it. Just as soon as you go, the heck with it, what happens? It slides right into your mind.
Right, exactly.
Exactly. All right. So when it comes to manifesting, most people don't get the point that you have to let it go. You have to turn it over to the universe and trust that the universe will deliver it. And
mm-hmm.
that's the final ingredient. trust that the universe will indeed deliver it to you, because it will, and be exact in what you're asking for. Now, when I'm actually teaching this to a group, I do it in a 1-hour seminar. And what I do at the beginning of the seminar is I ask everybody to think of a simple phrase that they would like to hear. Just make it simple. Love hearing that phrase. Make it a phrase that you don't hear all the time. Put it in a context, even. It doesn't matter. Then once you have that phrase formulated in your mind, love the sound, let it go. And what's really interesting is before that seminar is over, almost virtually everyone has heard their phrase, whether it came from me, whether it came from a member in the audience on break, or wherever. It doesn't matter where it comes from. It's only the fact that it does. Now, each of you listening to the show right now, you want to have fun with something that's a giggle? Why not think of a simple phrase, put it in a context, let it go after you've loved hearing that sound or that phrase, will release it to the universe, and when it comes, it will floor you. And it usually will occur within a matter of about 48 hours. That's all. And about 48 hours, you should hear your phrase. Now, if you make it complex, it could take it a little longer. If you doubt that it's going to occur, you start asking yourself, where's that phrase? I haven't heard it yet. Where's that phrase? You may as well sit down and do it again, because that's just that's another form of doubt. So it doesn't matter what it is that you want to manifest. Now, I'm going to say a couple of things here that's going to shock people, because we have power over the weather, according to that paragraph that I just read you. Think about what happens in, Atlanta, that area of the country, southeastern United States, was going through a huge drought. And in the media, you heard drought, drought, drought. So that was what was in everybody's minds. And all of a sudden, people shifted it. I wish it would rain. I really would like it to rain. And what happened? They got flooded.
Flood.
Absolutely. I had a gal call me from Canada that I've worked with off and on for a couple of years, and on a live radio show that we were doing. And she called in, and she said there was a tornado coming at her house, and she stood there in the window and looked at it, and she said, no, go another way. Ready for this? It did.
Exactly. Yes, I believe that.
All right, I had a gentleman in South Dakota. His name is Chris. And what he wanted, severe storms, what he wanted was a few moments of sunshine. Now, he was just playing. And I encourage that all the time. Play with it until you get it down to a science, and then go for what you want. Lo and behold, he said it wasn't even 5 minutes later, the sun peeked through those very dark clouds and was out for about 10 minutes, and then it closed back off. And all he said to me is, Stephen, that was the most humbling experience I think I've ever had.
Wow.
Because we are that powerful. The human is the most powerful thing in our realm. We just misuse it.
Exactly, exactly. And if what you just mentioned about us creating that thought and just let it go and put it in a statement and all of that, in 48 hours or in less, many times it is manifested. Can you imagine what will happen in our lives if we begin to do this? And even for the people who are practicing Christianity, you have the same teachings when you pray, because you said when you pray to God and ask for something, you don't get up back with what you ask and go back and ask. You leave it there.
Exactly.
And this is just affirmation to what we have been learning in Christianity all our lives, those who are practicing Christians. You know?
But it hasn't been put in this context. That it's been
That's right.
Right now. It's not the whole idea is just get rid of the idea of separation. I mean,
that's right. That's
we are
right.
We are one. We're one humanity.
Yes.
Going in opposite directions. And we don't have to.
That's
Imagine
right.
if the whole world all of a sudden started focusing on peace. It would have to happen.
Exactly, because all the energies was focusing in the same direction.
Yes, ma'am.
That's
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
That's right. You know, back in 2000, I was appointed an ambassador for world peace, and one gentleman, very fine gentleman at my church, he asked me the question, why would you want to get involved in that? Why would you want to be part of that? And he even added to that, and he said, did you discuss it with Pastor so-and-so? And I said, I don't need to discuss it with the pastor. I say, I know what my responsibilities are in this world. And I think you ought to know what yours are as well. So I don't need somebody to affirm to me what my contribution needs to be around experiencing world peace. I am doing what I need to do. I'm beginning to create my relationships as part of the legacies. And when I move on, somebody else will step up and continue as part of their legacies, what I began to create. But each of us need to know, and this teaching and what you're telling us this morning is an affirmation, Stephen, for us to know that right where we are today, we can begin to do our part.
Absolutely. We have more, you know, when we look in it, people, this cracks people up when you're hearing it come from a Buddhist monk, but when you look in the biblical text, you look in the book of Genesis, it says these words, now you are just like me.
Mm-hmm.
It says that.
Mm-hmm.
The one known as the Christ said, even the least among you may do these, and greater things may you do. Now, what is it about
right. Those
two statements and the one that I read from the Dead Sea Scrolls? It doesn't have Christianity written on it. It has knowledge written on it.
That's right.
And knowledge misused will get you nowhere. You see, we have all been manifesting our lives from the day that we were born.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been manifesting them through levels of conditioned mindset. This is what you can do. This is what you can't do. Well, excuse me. We are very literally an unlimited resource.
That's right.
I once heard an analogy given when I was in the business world. And it was offered by the Research Institute of America. And what they said was this, that if you were to be able to somehow, thank goodness they can't, connect a human brain with electrical wiring, one human brain could run the entire city of New York for a period of 10 years without even one flicker of a light bulb. That same institute also said that if you could turn a human brain into an explosive device, it would equal about 10 nuclear devices going off at the same time. That's powerful.
Oh, now, you're telling me. Woo!
What we've done is we have simply misused them.
That's right.
That's why we have the lives that we do. So in manifesting, first, I remember the day that I was walking along going to my favorite meditation place in India, and all of a sudden I stopped in my tracks, and I looked at the sky, and I went, oh, I have been doing all of this to me. It's up to me. It's up to nothing else. It's up to me in alignment with the universe. And ever since that time, I've had everything in my life that I want. I'm not a wealthy man, don't need it, don't care about it. I have a roof over my head. I have a lovely bride. We have a vehicle. We go to India once a year. I'm going to be speaking in London this fall. What more could you ask? And it's all been created through my focus, my desire. And it's interesting the way that you introduced me, because I've always left and told people, I'm mom's best kept secret. I refer to God as mom, but I mean.
Yes.
But I'm her best kept secret, and you started off with that.
Because you know, oftentimes, like maybe 2 months ago, I connected with a gentleman in the UK and on LinkedIn. And he said to me, you know, you got to be careful what you ask for, he says, because we were talking on Skype. And he said, you know, it's about 8 weeks ago, I said, oh, I was praying and I said, Lord, I want to meet a lot of Christian people from around the world. And he said, what you know, a couple of weeks later on, here you are, that you are turning up onto my network and all of that. So it's amazing how we get connected with people. I didn't know about him. You know, I didn't know about you if that lady had not asked me about being her friend. I would not have learned about you.
It's
just a blessing.
It was no accident.
I know.
It was meant. And there's only and there is only divine timing anyway.
Yes.
It's just we are too impatient to wait for the universe to handle it. Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing in life to be impatient about.
Mm-hmm.
We in our part of the world, though, are always into instant gratification. And if you're into instant gratification, you're going to find manifestation with intent probably somewhat frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
So my suggestion to everybody out there is don't. The universe will handle it. It always has.
Mm.
You just think we're in the driver's seat. No.
Yeah. You just affirm something that I often say, that, you know, people operate as if they're in a microwave world.
Uh-huh.
Because they want to put it in and push the button and palm. 3 minutes, the popcorn is ready. And they do that with their lives result, too.
Yeah.
We want it in 3 minutes. And anything over 3 minutes, they get 3 minutes, they get frustrated about that. So I'm so excited to hear that coming from you this morning.
Oh, absolutely. Manifestation. See, I can think of a song that I want to hear, and I can guarantee you within 5 minutes it'll be on the radio. There's some movies that I do like.
Mm-hmm.
I focus on them, and then along comes the weekend, and there's the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we have that much influence. When you when you become still in your mind, you become at peace with yourself, and you practice manifesting.
Mm-hmm.
There'll come a point where it's almost instant. It's almost instant. And I'm very genuine when I say that. See, as an example, if you give money too much power, it makes it more difficult. I don't care for money. I don't like it. I don't like what it's done to the world. I don't like what it does to people.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do is I manifest radio shows,
mm-hmm.
people contacting me for one-on-one guidance,
mm-hmm.
and I'm busy all the time. So I manifest mm-hmm. people, not money. The end result
mm-hmm.
is the same. You see
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
my suggestion is for your audience that if you have mm-hmm. issues with money, first admit it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second is, what can you do in your field of endeavor that will help that? Usually the greatest amount of success comes through people.
Mm-hmm.
So you can manifest people. If
yes.
you have a store, you manifest people coming into the store. If you have a radio show, you manifest listeners. You see how all of that works?
Yes.
And that's all in our hands. I've been attempting, this may sound a little nutty, but on every radio show that I've been on over the last few weeks,
yes,
we've got a huge thing going on in the Gulf.
Mm-hmm.
Now, notice I didn't say disaster.
Right.
All right, because I don't want to get into that consciousness.
Nope.
Have you ever heard of the theory of the 100 monkeys?
No.
All right. Just a brief a thumbnail of the idea. Scientists were on a South Pacific island. There were too many monkeys, not enough food. They were teaching them to dig for yams, wash them off, and eat them. One morning, one of the scientists got up, and he noticed there was a monkey had dug up a yam, was washing it off and began eating it. And then he kept watching, and more of them started doing it. Success. So they decided to get on a boat and go to another island 50 miles away, and monkeys don't swim. 50 miles away in, through the open ocean, and when they got to the next island, the monkeys were already digging up the yams and washing them and eating them.
Mm.
That's the theory of 100 monkeys. In other words, there becomes a tipping point where once it reaches a certain number, and we don't know what that tipping point is in humans, but once it reaches a certain number of humans, then all humans would know the same thing. That's the theory.
Wow.
Now, once we all connect into oneness, ultimately, we would have that same ability. In other words, everybody would know what I know.
Yes.
And
yes.
I would know, and I would know what everybody else knows.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that.
Right.
So now if we take that idea and focus on the oil spill in the Gulf, that it ceases, who knows? Maybe we could get an 8-point earthquake on the sea bottom and it would shut that thing off. And then why don't we manifest the removal of the oil? It doesn't matter the how-to. Remember that.
Right, yes.
The fact that we do it. So what I'm attempting to do is to get the whole world to focus on that point and see what we can do. Have you ever heard of Masaru Emoto and the Miracle of Water?
Say that, repeat that, Stephen.
His name is Masaru Emoto.
No, I've never heard of him.
All right. What he did is he works with water. In fact, he has a book out called The Miracle of Water. And what he found out was that if you, and he actually did this as an experiment. He took his students, 75 of them, they sat around one of the most polluted ponds in Japan. They tested the water before they did it. They tested the water after they did it. It was polluted before. After they were done, they meditated and focused love on that pond for 1 hour, and there was no pollution in the water. That's documented. That one's documented. Masaru Emoto.
Would you please spell his name, Stephen?
good luck. His last name is E-M-O-T-O.
E-M-O-T-O. Okay,
right.
We'll find it. We'll find
right.
it.
And the name of his book is The Miracle of
Miracle
Water.
Miracle of Water. Okay, we'll find it. That's good enough. And I got to let you know, you're getting lots of thumbs up in the chat room.
Oh.
They say you are just fabulous.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm honored.
Oh, okay. We have 58 minutes remaining. Not that it is of importance, but we just want to let the listeners know, encourage them again. The number to call is 646-915-8166. And the chat room, you can type your questions. The people that are on the phone lines, I got to tell you, Dr. Stephen, you lit the board up.
Thank you. It's just
you know, yes, it's just an honor for my listeners and I to be in your teaching right now because we are, okay, M-A, and Stephen, the name is spelled M-A-S-A-R-U. See?
Mm-hmm.
We got people in the chat room who knows about.
All right, Emoto. It's amazing what he found out. And if you can do it with water, we ought to be able to do it with anything. And that's my point.
Yes, yes, yes.
Anything. Yes. Anything that anybody wants accomplished, you can do.
Thank you. Thank you for that affirmation here this morning. So for the remaining of, do you have, and I'm sure you do, but at this moment, would you like to continue on the art of manifestation, or you want us to enter into other things?
Well, if nobody has any questions on it, let me just run through briefly again. And by the way, there is a download on my website that people can get.
Yes.
In fact, I sent it to you.
Oh, yes. I listened to that, and I was going to talk about it a little later on. But
all right. Let me just run through those three dynamics again. Your electrical charge is your heart.
Your
magnetic charge is your mind.
Mind.
You focus them on one target the end result only. Forget the how-to. The end result only. And then what you do is you love that end result, allow yourself even to see yourself in receipt of it, and then let it go. Practice, practice, practice on simple things. I had a gal that was, just another example, was teaching her one day what she wanted. Well, she called me and said, "Stephen, everywhere I go, I see a pink Cadillac." Mm-hmm. I said, "Okay, Carla, what did you do?" She said, "Well, I wanted somebody to ask me out to have a cocktail after work because what I wanted was a pink Cadillac."
Mm-hmm.
I started laughing. I said, "No, no, no, Carla. The universe, remember, has a sense of humor. You were focusing on pink Cadillac, so that's what they did." Here's my point. If you want to see a color of an outfit on a male or a female, doesn't matter, just see that color of the outfit on the person and then let it go, and you watch what happens. You watch what happens.
Mm.
I was working with Chris. He called me from Atlanta one day, and we got on that conversation about colors, and I said, "All right, check this out. There's a woman coming. She's going to be wearing purple, and she should be there in about 10 seconds. He turned and looked, and he started laughing.
And you were on the telephone.
And I'm in Northern Nevada, and he's in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh. Oh.
What I'm saying is don't limit it. Whatever
That's
you
right.
limit, whatever you limit you to mm-hmm. is what you limit your manifestation to. And if there's no questions from you or anybody in the chat room, then we can go in any direction that you choose, Daphne.
All right. So I'm going to, again, ask the listeners in the chat room, not that this is your last opportunity to, because we will accommodate the questions whenever they come.
Sure.
But if you have no question pertaining at this moment to the art of manifestation, and I would love to hear from the listeners if whether or not if you heard your statement used yet. During since Dr. Stephen had asked you to put your statement out there. Let us know whether or not you heard that, or even if you heard it before the end of the show. We would love to hear that happens for you to kind of seal and affirm what you are learning today. So I want to... It's 47 minutes, Dr. Stephen. I want you to let us just have a bit of conversation about the Vision Weekend Conference, if you may.
Sure.
Okay. I know you just learned about the event while we were speaking and when we met, which was not a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you agreed to be part of that. If I may ask you, why did you agree to be part of this project?
You want the short version or the long one?
I don't know.
Okay. All right. Here we go. The world is evolving.
Mm-hmm.
It's beginning to change. The old paradigms, the old ways of doing things are no longer working.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you look out there, are the governments working with an S? Are the economic systems working? Are the educational systems working? What is actually working out there? So my point is this. When we talk about a vision seminar, it's an opportunity to help people awaken to the true dynamics of self and who they really are in this world and in this life, and to get them to understand the impact that we actually have on each other.
Mm-hmm.
The world is awakening. And I personally would love to be a part of assisting people in that particular dynamic. And when you mentioned it, my soul, my spirit said, this is something to do, Stephen. Do this.
Yes.
So that's when you brought it up. I said, hey, I'll do it.
Yes. You know, thank you. Thank you so much for that. Because you know something, 2 weeks ago, I was up in Rochester, New York. There's two friends of mine, Colby Huberman from Israel, and Jennifer Sertl from New York, Rochester, New York, to be exact. And they both has co-authored a book called Tragedy Leadership for the Soul. And I was there in their presence, observing and celebrating the manifestation of this book that they both connected 5 years ago at a conference in France, made eye contact, and this book is now the result of that eye contact at that conference.
No destiny there.
Can you imagine?
Yes,
and
I
when I heard that story, I was floored. I was floored. And, you know, when I was sitting there in Kobe's presence, when I got invited, Stephen, I said there was no way I was going to miss this event because this is part of history. And just as you said, I want to be part of this new evolving world.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're in Nevada, I'm in Connecticut, Kobe's in Israel, Jennifer is in Rochester, Crystal is out in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
But we are all in this together.
We're all connected.
And the world will be empowered.
Yes.
Because of our cooperative connectiveness.
Yes.
And this is so powerful. People, let money get into the way of them becoming part of history. Because they say, oh, I want to be part of that, but oh no, I want $30,000 to do that. And I'm saying that you are missing what it is all about.
Indeed.
Because when we begin to impact the world, there will be no limit as to the monetary manifestation that will enter into each of our lives, because we know that our true commitment is to people.
Yes.
And not to the money.
Yes. Most people would rather be committed to the money. And
yes.
That's fine. You can have that, but you can have that. That's not up to me. That's not... Actually, money unempowers people, if we really thought about it.
Yes.
My teachers, when I was in India, I never paid them a nickel. That's not what it was about. What I did do is I washed their clothes, I prepared their meals. In other words, I gave in exchange.
Yes.
For the
yes.
knowledge.
Yes.
And if we find ways to, if I can take one person in an audience and change their life and impact their life, that's what I was after.
A few weeks ago, Stephen, I was mentioning here on this show that it became very obvious to me where I learned my commitment to networking and adding value and energy to others. Although at the time I wasn't putting these labels on it, but as I think back over my childhood, my parents were farmers. And my father tilled the soil to plant the produce, and so did all the other men in that district. And those men were doing it. It was physical labor. They did not have tractors. They used a pitchfork. But each week they were working somebody else's soil. So 10 or 12 men would work my father's farm, and then they moved to somebody else's, and they were not paying for labor. They were exchanging their energy to get everybody's crops in the ground. And I think that humble beginning has given me such a rich legacy that no one, it doesn't matter what they do, will ever separate me from that, knowing that when I enter into somebody's life to give from my soul and from my spirit, and I just concentrate a lot on that, and it allows me to always give my best.
Well, here's the interesting thing. If a person doesn't give their best, then they're actually shorting themselves, and there's no way around that. We can do any and everything with love and compassion, and leave things better than we found them. And if we could all do that throughout the world, it would be a much better world. When someone gives you their heart, handle it gently. When someone shares from their life with you, be honored and be humbled that somebody is willing to do that. Because that's what we're here for. That's what
yes.
the human is. That's what the human is about, is to being the best that we can be in any given moment.
Yes.
By the way, whenever you speak to your own selves, always speak gently and in loving kindness to you.
Mm.
Because the human is extremely sacred ground.
Yes.
It is indeed the temple of life.
That is so powerful.
It is. That's who we are.
That is so powerful. Because, you know, I forget what I was writing. I don't remember if it was on my blog or something, and I was telling my readers how important it is to love themselves, because
absolutely.
How oftentimes we begin to look outside to our spouses, to the community, our children, and we look every other place other than to self to start demonstrate the love that we need, because people are going to give us back what we manifest. So if we are not manifesting love to ourselves, how can we get it from other people?
Excellent. My newest book, The 12 Sacred Principles of Karma, the second principle tells us this: you attract to you what you are, not what you want. You see, if a person really wants love in their life, then they have to love themselves first, and here's why.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't love you, how can someone else love you?
That's right.
More importantly, how can you love them? It's absolutely
mm-hmm.
not possible. It
mm-hmm.
cannot happen. If you do not honor you, how can you honor another? Now, in a way, that sounds a little bit selfish. It is if you do it from an arrogant, ego-based point of view. But when you really realize who the human is, what an honor just to be alive. Just to be on this show. I mean, what an honor to be able to talk with the people that are listening.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, ladies and gentlemen, when we honor ourselves, we honor life.
That's right.
We love ourselves. Imagine for one moment if every single human loved themselves enough to love the world. What would the world become?
You know, I have a retreat, a 3-day retreat that I do, that is, it's called Attending to Self Without Being Selfish.
Excellent.
And the men who oftentimes come to that retreat, they get it, but the women, it takes a little time for them to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are women. Has the burden of guilt sometimes that, oh, if I do for me, I'm taking from someone else.
I look at it this way. I look at it as though feminine is the healer and they're the giver. Now, if the world were filled only with givers, who would there be to receive? Who would there be to receive? There would be no one. Because the world would be filled with givers. We have to remember, when it comes to the idea of giving is a two-way street. The people that are best at giving are also the people that are the best at receiving. See, that woman is always used to taking care of everyone else, but not herself. And when they
yes.
learn... Look, this may sound a little arrogant, but it's not intended that way. You are the most important person in your life.
That's right. Yes, I am. We all are.
Exactly. And for you to be the best person to the children, to your community, you have to be the best person for you first.
That's right.
Then you're going to be automatically the best person no matter where you go. And I think women might be a little bit hesitant with that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, they are. Oh, yes.
When they don't have to. Open yourselves to receive. It's okay.
That's right. And I tell my clients, I said, listen, as women, my female clients, I say, as women, we need to learn what it means to give from our overflow, not from our full cup. Because when you deplete from your full cup, that's when the label of stress, depression, burnt out, and all those things begin to happen. But if you keep an overflow and you give from that overflow, you're always giving more, and you always have a full cup. So you will not be given reluctantly nor grudgingly because you have an excess from which you give.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a win-win for everybody.
Indeed. Well stated.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I'm doing this well already. Can you imagine when I am really learning more from my teacher?
You got to remember something here, lovely one, and that's this. We are our own best teacher. There's an old saying, I think most people have heard it, and that's that when the student is ready, the teacher will come.
Teacher will appear. Thank you. Right. That is
right.
So true.
But here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
That actually ends up, once we reach a certain level, sure, you can use external teachers, but there comes a point in time to where when you're ready to listen, the soul will speak.
Mm.
And now you have the unification of student and true teacher.
True teacher. Woo! I love it, I love it. We could have an 8 or 12-hour show. Because we have 33 minutes, and I'm thinking, where did the time go? Oh, would you love to please take this opportunity while you get a sip of water, take this opportunity to please tell the listeners how they can contact you, give them your website and all of that good stuff.
I appreciate that. My website is Hairfield, H-A-I-R-F, as in Frank, I-E-L-D, .com, www.hairfield.com. My email address is extremely simple. It's stephen@hairfield.com. And my telephone number is area 775-826-5999. I'm on Skype. Just look up @AnAmericanMonk. That's me. And I'm even on Twitter, @AnAmericanMonk. So you can contact me in all of those places.
All right. All right. Oh, I tell you, we have the best people in the chat room today. They're always surprising me. And we have some very affluent typists there. And of course, your website is up in the chat room for the people there to get it in case they did not get it when you mentioned it. So I just want to thank the listeners there in the chat room and on the phone for just helping us to be more proficient here. Because one of the things I need to manifest for this show is a very affluent producer.
Well, there you go.
So it's out there.
Yeah, see them. Love having that producer. And you can qualify it as far as you want to.
Yes.
Just see the producer there.
Mm-hmm.
And then let it go.
Yes. And that's what I'm...
They will find you.
That's right. So I've done that, and when the manifestation happens, I will inform you, the listeners.
All right. Here's the interesting thing. I think that person that's going to do it is actually listening to the show. And what they're going to do is think about it, and then they're going to contact you.
Mm-hmm.
They're already listening to the show. I'm almost 100% certain of that.
All right. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We are still having some people joining us in the chat room, and we appreciate you coming. We have a remaining of 30 minutes. However, the beginning of the conversation, you can get on the archive of the show. And I want to give a plug for the show. I want to ask you, please, if you would be kind enough to visit the show page, leave your feedback about today's segment. I would also love to ask you to please mark the show favorite so that you are kept informed as to the conversations I have each week. And become a friend. I love people. So please become my friend as well. Yes, Dr. Stephen, 29 minutes remain.
It sounds like you're watching a stopwatch here, lovely one.
I'm telling you, where did the time go? You know this time, Blog Talk has the time up in front of you where we tell you, no, you just have this remaining and that remaining. I think I need to put a blinder on so I don't keep looking at it.
Time is irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when people ask me my age, I just give them the numbers in years, and I never say old behind it. I mean, when I pay attention to time, I look at my calendar because that's where all my appointments sit, like the radio show this morning. That's when I know where I have to be, when I have to be. Other than that, doesn't matter.
That's right.
We all have the same amount of time. It just depends on how we use it.
Yes, would you please, and I am not sure where you will begin, but you will know. I want to ask you, please, to create a checklist for entrepreneurs to begin to manifest greatness for themselves, for their business, for their world, for their family. A checklist, if you may.
When we talk about manifesting greatness, my suggestion is to realize you already have that.
Mm-hmm.
It just comes down to how you see you.
Mm-hmm.
So on a checklist, one, accept you as you are. Accept all conditions as they are. Then determine what it is that you are choosing to do for your career, for your family, for whatever reason. What does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
Once you've established what that looks like, now you have the image. Now you have the working model in your mind. And do yourself a favor. Learn patience. Be patient with what it is that you are creating. The greatest reward is receiving what it is that you're manifesting when you've earned the right to have it, when you've earned the right to own it. Love what you do.
Mm.
Be sincere in what you do.
Mm.
Love the people that support you in what you do. Never overlook anything. Tibetans would teach you that very small pebble in your path that you overlook may be the very pebble that creates your stumble.
Whew.
So my point is no matter
Would you please repeat that, Stephen?
Sure. That on your path, no matter how small that pebble is that's in your path, never overlook it because it may be the very thing that creates your stumble or your downfall. In other words, in life, always look at the small things, the simple things, not the large, the obvious.
Mm-hmm.
When you build a brick house, you build it by putting one brick in at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not paying attention to where you place those bricks, then when you get done, you notice the one that's out of place.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole structure is weakened. So it's the details, it's the small things in life to watch and observe.
Ooh.
Always be mentally clear and set yourself in a state of receivership. In a state of receivership. I had a gentleman in Copenhagen, Jakob, that I've been working with. He was manifesting income, but here's the funny part. He never manifest the receipt of the income.
Oh.
So he was making money, but he was having difficulty getting it. And I said, Yaakov, why didn't you see yourself receiving what you were earning? And he started laughing. He said, I've never thought of that one. Now he's receiving
clarity.
That's the small pebble. That's the small stone that nobody pays attention to. Anybody in this world can be as successful in anything that they choose as they want it to be. Remember, that's only limited by how limited you see you. And if you do not see you as an infinite creature, then you're already putting yourself in limitation. Make sense?
Oh, lots and lots and lots of sense. Ooh.
Honor life, it will honor you.
That's right. Honor life, it will honor you. Honor life, it will honor you.
Always.
Always, 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 you know. And as a practicing Christian, I always tell the people that God is generous. Whatever he promises, he gives. He is never taken back. He's not like someone who is dangling the carrot in front of me and then he draw it and tempt me and draw it. No. Mm-hmm. He's genuine in giving me what he promised he will do. And my job is only to be obedient and keep doing his work and keep touching people's lives. You know, I tell people that my focus and mission and vision for the work that I do is to change our world by transforming only one life at a time. And even if I don't get to do 10,000 and all of that, that one life, if when they get it and they begin to touch one more life,
yes, ma'am,
the end result is going to happen. It will snowball as it go along. But I really am not going to sit and say, well, I'm only here in Connecticut. I cannot make a difference. No, sir. I can make a lot of difference.
And you can make it all over the world.
All over the world. All over the world. I can make that difference. And hey, ain't no stopping me. And there's no going back. Right now, you know?
That's an interesting idea because I've never found my personal breaks. I don't know where they are.
You know, who says you have some?
I don't think you have any. I've never looked for them. I was just playing on what you said when you said nothing's going to stop you. I said, hey, I don't have any breaks.
Oh, no. I was so excited the other night when you mentioned that we weren't born with erasers in our hand. And I said, ain't that the truth?
It is.
And, you know, and people need to begin to know that. Mm-hmm. Since you don't have any eraser, don't be changing nothing. Just work with what you have and keep going. You know?
Here's the interesting thing, Daphne, that I'd like your listeners to know. We hear all too often that we're not perfect and it's not a perfect world. And I don't mean to offend people with what I'm about to say. It's just simply the truth. The Creator, when it creates anything, are you ready for this? Science tells us that there's never, ever been in the history of the world two snowflakes that have ever been exactly alike.
No, sir, there has not.
There's never been two humans exactly alike, even identical twins. They aren't exactly alike.
Mm-mm.
We're all unique.
That's
and
right.
In that, the Creator can only make perfect things. So it made perfect people, and we just changed our minds.
That's right.
And it's a perfect world, which we've changed also, because we changed our minds.
That's right.
So if you realize your own perfection, and that you're truly sacred ground, it will change your life. Because you are the Creator's children.
That's right. And, you know, he doesn't make counterfeit. Nope. He doesn't make copy. We are all genuine. We are all original.
Yes, ma'am. And I'm still with all of my factory original equipment, too.
Oh, yeah. I tell people, I'm 100 plus original.
There you go. Absolutely.
There's no copy here. There is no other me out there. I remember years ago I met this woman and she asked me what work I did. And I said I was a motivational speaker. She said, oh, you like Les Brown? I said, no, ma'am, I'm not. And she looked at me surprised. I said, no. I said, I respect Les a lot and Les is someone I know. I say, however, I'm not trying to do Les and Les is not trying to do me. I said, we are so different. And she cracked out laughing. I said, yes, ma'am. I said, with my accent and all. I said, he doesn't have my sunny personality and my musical voice. So I said, oh, no, I'm not trying to do him and he's not trying to do me. We are just out there doing our own thing.
Exactly.
You know?
As long as we're out there doing our own thing. See, that's something else. When people really realize, don't even bother to look for a place where you fit in.
Please.
Because of individuality, where can you fit in?
No place.
Exactly. Except within yourself.
That's right.
All right.
That's...
Don't live your life for other people.
Mm-mm. And you... Go ahead.
Service, I'm just going to say be in service and help people, but do
That's
not
right.
live your life because That's... of what other people think. If you do, you're owned.
That's right. You know, I get invitation a lot to be on board of directors and be in this group and that group. And I said, tell me more. Because I say, I'm not looking to go to one more meeting. I'm not looking to no longer join. I say, I only sit around the tables that I'm able to add value and energy to.
Perfect.
So let me know what you're about. Let me dissect it and see how I can add. And I say, utilize me while I'm here. Because you don't know how long I'm here for. Because I might not be here for the time that you elect me for. Because my job might be completed. And I might be needed somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't get it.
I don't know why they don't.
You use me because I'm here right now. Because tomorrow I might not be here for a number of different reasons. And I noticed that since I start operating like that, it took me a few years to reach to where I am, a continuous investment in me and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I no longer think about what people think, you know.
Not important.
I have a value and energy to add. I add it, I move on.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to fit in with the Joneses because I'm not a puzzle.
No.
I was not meant to fit in.
No.
I was meant to contribute and move on.
You were meant to be a unique experience
mm-hmm.
In the celebration of life.
Yes.
Not by living exactly like everybody else.
That's right.
Not even possible.
That's right. And I think this is a message that entrepreneurs need to understand that
Absolutely.
Whatever you're doing, you were uniquely designed for that. And no one else can do what you are doing. I tell you, years ago, I read a book by Dr. Miles Monroe called In Pursuit of Purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And that book, Stephen, turned my life around because I am a nurse by profession, traditional profession. That's what I did majority of my life. But even when I was doing nursing, I did it differently. As I thought back over the years in the hospital and even in community health, I was always speaking with people at length. My co-workers always get upset with me. Clark Hudson, why you have to talk so much? You take so long to do the medication because you're talking to everybody. And I did not learn about being a coach or any of that thing until I came to America. And more specifically, after I read Dr. Miles' book, In Pursuit of Purpose, and I understand that God created me for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And as I look, nursing school and all of those things was part of what has helped me to really harness my authenticity and my uniqueness in doing what I do know. And when I got it, I said, what a revelation that was for me. To really know that I ain't got to worry about everybody else. Just focus on me, myself, and I. And everything will be all right, you know?
Your personal holy trinity, yep.
I love that. I love it.
I've always thought that purpose was pursuing me. Do I have that backwards? because purpose has found me just like it's found you.
Oh my God. And it's because at my church, I teach a small group in pursuit of purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody come, and at the beginning of the class, I have them write on a 3x5 card why they signed up for the class and what they hope to get out of it. And it never fails. Everybody came looking for the purpose. So I said, well, the first surprise I have for you is that your purpose is not lost. It's not lost. So let's get that one out of the way. It's not lost. You know, it is not lost.
I'd like to share a little story that's
yes.
Monks have an interesting way of when they teaching you something. One of my teachers one day looked at me and he said, Stephen, what is it that you seek? Talk about purpose.
Mm.
And I told him I would like to be like the Buddha. I would like to achieve my own divine consciousness. I would like to change the world. And he looked at me and smiled and said, good, you will never achieve it. What?
Mm.
And then here's what he said. He said, young man, as long as you seek a thing, it means you do not have what you seek.
Mm.
But the moment you stop seeking it, it will find you.
Mm.
And I have found that to be the implicit, absolute truth.
Yes, yes.
When we're seeking something, that's like that carrot on a stick that'll always be out in front of us.
That's right. And the closer you think you get to it, the farther it is.
Yep.
Dangling illusion. Oh, this is just amazing. Would you please, once again, mention your contact information, and then if you would be kind enough to begin to summarize your thoughts for today, I would appreciate that.
Oh, summarize my mind. Wow.
Oh, you're on the conversation.
Concept. Okay. My contact information, my website, so you can find out my background, what I'm about, is www.hairfield.com. H-A-I-R, F as in Frank, I-E-L-D. My email address is stephen@hairfield.com. I'm on Skype, at an American monk. And I'm also on Twitter, as literally an American monk. And Skype, I use it because I work with people all over the world, and it's always an honor to be able to do that. My phone number is 775-826-5999. If you have a question for me, you can call me and ask, and I'll give you the best that I can. So, summarizing my mind. Wow, when I look in there, it's like a really deep, dark pit.
Oh, Stephen.
with a lot of light in there, but go ahead.
Before you do that, just stick a pin right there before. You mentioned working with people around the world.
Yes.
Would you please tell us, when you work individually with people, what are the services that you offer?
Well, Tibetan monks are known as some of the world's best remote viewers. So I look in a person's life, and I can tell them about it. I teach meditation that will open a person's personal book of life. I also come from the position of a monk. You could basically call it intuitive life coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Helping people understand, one, the circumstances they're in, two, how they got there, and three, where is that path to get me out of it?
Okay.
And, I've had many, many people around the world that could tell you that I'm pretty darn good at what I do.
I kind of got a feeling based on what I read, you know. I kind of get a feeling about that too.
Yeah, I just love people, and I'm very genuine. I don't take what I do seriously, but I do take it genuinely.
Yeah, have fun with it.
Yes, I do. I could take a person that is completely sad about things and can show them why they're experiencing that, and then I can also show them what I'm really known for is where's the path. How do I get on that thing? How do I get out of where I am? And I love people enough to share that ability. So that's kind of what I do.
All right. Well, thank you for that added nugget.
I appreciate it.
So, would you like to summarize the conversation?
Sure. Gentlemen, realize the power that you have, that you, like I, in this world, are a virtual limitless energy stream. The universe supplies the energy, and it's just up to us to utilize what the universe has gifted us with. Realize that you can have anything in life that you want, anything, as long as whatever that is doesn't own you. If it's more powerful than you, if it owns you in any way, then it will be of no value to your soul, especially for you to have something that's more powerful than you. That's just not the way it works. You are the leading edge in your life. When you can learn to walk through life understanding that you are part of the divine creation and that you are extremely sacred ground and that you wield a power that no other living human can have. And when you use that power, use it to lift people, use it to help people, use it to wipe that tear off of that person's face, use it to ask the people how you can assist them, and always come from your heart. Use the steering devices that the universe has naturally given you to use to impact your world. And as you impact your world, it'll impact others. When you get out there and you start creating your own business, remember, you're creating it. Then let the universe have its say in the overall design. And if you're willing to shake hands and partner with the universe, then ladies and gentlemen, life is a true gift. And it'll have more meaning and more value to you than you can ever realize. Everything is within your hands. There's nothing out there to blame, but there's every level of personal responsibility that we can apply to ourselves and let other people have their responsibility. Never use the art of manifesting to have power over another human. That's not its purpose. That's not its purpose. But you can use that power by, as an example, manifesting a producer for Daphne, because she could use it. We can all do that as one mind. We can all do that. When we unify and realize we're one mind anyway, when you stop and think about something, I'm talking with a man in Atlanta, and a lady wearing purple was produced, and by the way, he saw purple all day long. He called me back, and I told him, well, just change the color. And he did. If my teachers can call me all the way from the United States, 14,000 miles away, and meet me at that exact point on the road of life to help me understand life, what a gift. That's how powerful we all are. It's not just a monk. You have that. A monk just knows how to be mindful with it. Mindful is just simply knowing what your mind is doing and why it's doing it. And then it's up to you to focus your mind on what you want, not control it, focus it. The moment you start attempting to focus your mind, you're going to encounter a wild beast. That wild beast has run free all of its life. And now what you're going to do is attempt to harness it. Do it slowly. Do it gently with yourself. Always speak kind and gentle to yourself. And then let your heart fly, and you can have anything that you want. That's what's in my mind.
Wow. Dr. Stephen Harefield,
yes, ma'am.
What an opportunity, what a blessing, what a privilege.
That's me.
For me to be blessed to be in this conversation with you. I am just so thankful for you entering into my journey. I thank you for your teachings. I thank you for your commitment to our world. I thank you even for the sacrifices that you have made earlier on, that this is a path that you will commit to and continue in order to manifest what's inside of you.
Yes.
For your uniqueness and for your authenticity. I thank you for that.
I'm deeply honored, Daphne. Thank you.
And for those of you who took the time to join us for the entirety of the show, I appreciate each and every one of you. And will you begin to manifest the things that you need? You can make a difference in your lives and in the world that we are a part of. We each have our unique responsibilities, and we can begin right now where we are to create the desired world that we want to be part of. Let us make that commitment today, especially with the teachings that was bestowed on us today. I have recommitted myself to world peace. What are you doing about it from your part of the world that you are? You and I together can manifest a world of peace. Again, I want to thank Dr. Stephen Hairfield for his time here. I know we will have him back on the show. We will be having each of the speakers on the show to talk about the Vision Weekend Conference. And again, I just cannot thank you enough, Dr. Hairfield, for what you are doing. Now the secret is out. So it's going to be my responsibility to keep the secret out there. And I don't know when, and that's not my business, but I know there will be many times when we will be sharing the platform, and I'm just so excited about the days that are ahead of us.
It's getting more exciting every day as the yes. world awakens to a new dawn.
Yes, and as I always remind my listeners, that you do not have to settle for mediocrity because you have the ability to create excellence, and today's segment was a true example and affirmation of that. So I want you to follow your destiny. Go out there and begin to create what you want and have it manifested.
My destiny.
I dare you to declare it.
Lord, I thank you.
showing me.
Hallelujah. And directing me.
Directing.
Speak to it. My destiny.
My destiny.
Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight.
Showing me.
Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with the slave. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with the slave. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. You feel it in your spirit?
Lord, I thank you.
Hallelujah. For showing me. I can sense my way through and direct the key. I can almost see the breaking of day. It's destiny. That I know what I know.
I know what I'm here for.
Yeah. Oh, for showing me to the Lord tonight and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. He's a strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody, you're going through a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change nations and generations. Come on and praise your God.